Can you see me with this on? All right. And then here's another tie. And then there is a gift card, a sizable gift card at that. And I thank you so much. And then here's a card. I make no promises that I wear this bow tie. Seventy-fifth birthday card. Thank you so much. Yeah, I promise you that I will wear. That had nothing to do with what Roy said about the gift card. Okay. So I will definitely wear that. The next time we have a baby dedication, for sure, I wear that. I've got one tie that I have worn to several baby dedications. It's a Winnie the Pooh tie. And, have you seen that tie? How many of you have seen that tie? Just a few of you. But I have worn it. But thank you so much. I said, you know, 75 sounds old, but I don't feel old, you know. I actually feel pretty young. Now, I've got some health problems, but pain doesn't have anything to do with how you feel as far as your age is concerned. Because I have had pain when I was 30, when I was 40, when I was 50, when I was 60, when I was 70, and now 75. Hey, I love all of you so very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so very much. So great to be able to celebrate a birthday. You can go ahead and keep standing. We're going to greet our guests.
Hallelujah. Somebody say, I have the victory. Now say it like you believe it. I have the victory. Amen. Praise God. Open your Bibles, please, to 2 Peter, the third chapter. And we're going to read verses 3 through 7. If you would stand, if you're not already, if you can, for the reading of God's Word. 2 Peter 3, 3 through 7. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, everyone say, same word, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. I would like to speak this evening on the power of the word. Praise God. You may be seated. Amen. One version says it like this, that in the last days, blatant scoffers will come. I believe that there are many blatant scoffers in our world today. Proverbs 30 says, there is a generation that curseth their father and does not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? This generation, this age, does not recognize the difference between the word of God and the judgment of God and the thing that we are waiting to see happen. In the last days, there is a generation. Now, some people believe that this is a cyclical thing and that this kind of generation comes around every so many hundred years or whatever. You may agree with that or disagree, but in any case, in the last days, the Bible says, that's the kind of generation that will exist. We are in that kind of generation. Another version says that this generation will be propelled by their evil urges and ask, where is his promise? Their answer to the word of God, their questioning of the word of God, their question of godly things and godly principles, this generation's attitude has a selfish motivation. They question the word of God. They question God himself because they want to hold on to the things that appeal to them. Be careful of those that want to make everything political. Be careful of those that want to hold on to every social situation to gain an advantage or win an argument or argue against God or to divide. Too much talk radio can poison the mind and the spirit. You can go to either side of the political spectrum and the same thing applies. The people of this world have their own agendas. The Bible says, for this they are willingly ignorant of. They deliberately, one version says, ignore the fact. They deliberately ignore the fact that by the word of God, the worlds were framed of old. Amen. It is clear, it is obvious that something created the world around us. They deliberately and willfully reject the knowledge of creation. Not solely because of science, but because they want to be ignorant of God and free of accountability to him. Because they want to reject the word of God. Think about it. The Bible says that by the word of God, the worlds were formed. According to Wikipedia, there are 42 basic types of creation myths. But look around you. Consider the complexity of life. But also consider the consistency of life. So complex, every living organism, just the changing of the seasons speaks of a design that's beyond our ability to comprehend, but it's so consistent. Did this really happen by accident? The website Simple to Remember says this. The next step would be to delve into the mathematical probabilities that vastly complex organs, such as the brain or the eyes, could have developed by themselves or by accident. But before we begin, I'd like you to be able to fathom what the numbers that we will be giving you represent. Scientists estimate that in our entire universe, there are only 10 to the 80th power electrons. That's a 1 with 80 zeros after it. That's the number of electrons in the universe. So I guess we would agree that 10 to the 100th power is a number that is pretty much impossible for us to truly comprehend. I'll agree with that. Anyone agree with that? Too hard for you? Okay. Now, maybe you're a mathematician, but most of us aren't. And even mathematicians can't really wrap their head around that kind of number. With this introduction, we'll be able to appreciate the upcoming quotation. Ilya Prigogine, chemist and physicist, recipient of two Nobel Prizes in chemistry, wrote, "The statistical probability that organic structures and the most precisely harmonized reactions that typify living organisms would be generated by accident is zero." The statistical probability that it would happen by accident is zero. Okay, this is not, your local traveling creation scientist preacher. This is a Nobel Prize winner, two-time Nobel Prize winner. Professor Francis Crick, awarded the Nobel Prize for the discovery of DNA, wrote, "An honest man, armed with all the knowledge available to us now, could only state that in some sense, the origin of life appears at the moment to be almost a miracle." He has to say almost. "So many are the conditions which would have had to have been satisfied to get it going." Now here's a quotation from another source. "The trouble is that there are about 2,000 enzymes, many of which are actually in the human body, and the chance of obtaining them all in a random trial is only one part in 10 to the 20th power." That's a 10 with 20 zeros after it. "An outrageously small probability that could not be faced even if the whole universe consisted of organic soup. In terms of complexity, an individual cell is nothing when compared with the system like the mammal's brain. The human brain consists of about 10,000 million nerve cells. Each nerve cell puts out between 10,000 and 100,000 connecting fibers by which it makes contact with other nerve cells in the brain. Altogether, the number of connections in the human brain approaches 10 to the 15th power, or 1,000 million million. That's the number of connections in most of our brains. Numbers in the order of 10 to the 15th power are, of course, completely beyond comprehension. Imagine an area about half the size of the USA, 1 million square miles, covered in a forest of trees, containing 10,000 trees per square mile. If each tree contained 100,000 leaves, the total number of leaves in the forest would be 10 to the 15th power, equivalent to the number of connections in one human brain. And this all happened by accident. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Neither was there anything that was made that was not made by Him. All things were created by Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. In the beginning was the Word of God." Everyone say, Word of God. We are so information-oriented. We are so technology-overwhelmed that it's hard sometimes to grasp the fact that God just spoke the Word and things happened. The Word of God existed before anything that you can see or hear or touch. The Word of God has always existed, and the Word of God will always exist. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Genesis 1:1 says that God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And over and over and over again, God said, and things happened. They became where they weren't before. Again and again, God said, God spoke, the Word created. The power of the Word. It sounds like a fairy tale, and that's how some people treat it, like it's make-believe. But what about the alternative? It all happened by accident? One thing in the same article that this website had talked about something, a theory that this physicist, Francis Crick, came up with, and his theory was that perhaps life began on the planet Earth when an alien life sent a frozen mass and all through the universe, and one of them just happened to land on Earth, and it was the conditions were right, and life began here. Well, then, where'd the alien life form come from to begin with? Who created that? That's one alternative. The other alternative is one that we're all familiar with to some extent, and that's the Big Bang. Of course, the question remains, who lit the fuse? Where did the fuel for the Big Bang come from? Who made that? Who got it started? How did existence begin? I'm not here to preach about evolution versus creation. I want to talk about the Word of God. It always was. It always will be. In the beginning was the Word. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Hebrews 11:6 says, now without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you believe in God? I'm asking everyone in this room, do you believe in God? You ask most anyone on the street and they will say yes. But then you find out what God they believe in and it gets a little strange sometimes. Which God do you believe in? How many gods do you believe in? How do you know who God is? That's the question. Hebrews is talking about the God of the Bible. The God of Israel. The God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, the God that rules the earth. He's not talking about Allah or Buddha or any God that has brothers that are just like him. There is only one God according to the Bible, and he's the God of everything. And he spoke the world into existence. The book of Deuteronomy says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Isaiah said, there is no God beside him. Neither was there any God before him, nor shall any God come after him. I believe in the God of the Bible. Do you believe in God? Book of Ephesians says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and in all and through you all. I believe in the God of the Bible. I believe in the God of the Word. I believe in the Word of God. So I ask you again, do you believe in God? The God of the Bible? Then you have to believe in a God that is capable of creating life and the universe by speaking his word. If you believe in God, then you can believe in his word. What is our word? We think of this, the things we say, you know, our word, the things we write, the things we attest to. He's a man of his word. What does that mean? It means he does what he says he's going to do. Man of his word. I give you my word. If someone says that to you, you immediately make a judgment on whether or not that's valid or not. I give you my word. So what? I let a boy down today. At one point, I told him I would take him hunting. I didn't know that he had a plan for a specific time and place to do that. And he thought we were going hunting this year. But I wasn't even planning on going hunting until 2 days ago, for sure. And he came up and asked me today, he said, it's hunting season. wasn't prepared to take him. I let him down. I apologized to him about four times in the space of a minute. And he said, "That's okay." I said, "No, it's not okay." So, of course, what else could I do but promise to take him in the future? I let him down. I didn't keep my word, Bishop. But I really plan to do that. Do you believe in God? Do you believe God is like a man? Some people, that's how some people judge God. They judge God by the same measure that they measure a man. God has never not kept his word, ever. Do you believe that he will fail in keeping his word to you? Praise God. Now, probably everyone in this room has read some portion of Scripture at some time or another. Everyone in this room at some time in your life, you have prayed and asked God for things. You believe that he hears you. Peter said God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. God doesn't just let things slide like Pastor Seidel sometimes does, unfortunately. Do you really believe in God? I know I asked that already. And I know it's irritating. But if we really believe in God, if we really believe in God, shouldn't we believe for the things that God promises? If we believe that he is, that he exists, then according to Hebrews, then we need to believe that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I would recommend tonight that you diligently seek God if you need something from him, if you want something from him. Praise God, when you have the opportunity, and you don't even have to wait till everybody else gives you permission, you can start seeking God right now. If you will diligently seek him, the Bible says he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. If you will call out on his name, if you will kneel before him and repent of your sin, if you will surrender your will to him, if you will surrender your faith to him, he is a rewarder if you believe in God. That word of John 1:1 that was in the beginning and all things were made by him, that same word, according to John 1:14, became flesh and dwelt among us. The very expression of God himself, the very thing, the very expression of himself by which he created the universe and gave life to all of us, that very element and expression of God's own being became manifest in human flesh, and he walked among us. He felt what we felt. He struggled with things that we struggle with. He felt tired. He was tempted in all points, the Bible says, just like we are, but he lived without sin. Do you believe in God? That word is Jesus Christ, and he is still alive today because he is risen. You may not see him here, but his living word is still present and working among us. That resurrected word, Jesus Christ, is alive. Praise God. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in the word of God? Do you believe in the power of God's word? Some of the things God has promised in his word. He promises if we repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, we shall receive the Holy Ghost. Praise God. If you have repented and been baptized in Jesus' name, you don't have to wait. You can receive the Holy Ghost right now. He promises forgiveness of sins when we repent and are baptized in Jesus' name. And he promises cleansing from our sins and all unrighteousness if we will only confess them to him. After that, he promises deliverance from every sinful habit, from every addiction, if we will diligently seek him. Any oppression or condition that would prevent us from living for him, he will give us the power and the authority to overcome in the name of Jesus Christ. He promises a new life. He promises the power of the Holy Ghost. He promises to enable and empower us to live and change and overcome sin. Praise God. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in his word? He promises to never, 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 never leave us or forsake us. Oh, praise God, there's power in his word. Amen. He promises to raise us from the dead, to give us an eternal body, and give us a home in heaven forever if we will diligently seek him. Praise God. And he always keeps his word. This is a simple message. It's an easy message, but everyone in this room has heard the word of God. All we need to do is trust his word. If there's a need you have, I want you to begin to seek Jesus Christ for the answer to that need right now. Right now, begin to look to heaven. Right now, begin to be hungry in your heart and believe that his word is true. The book of Hebrews says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Praise God. God knows what's going on inside of you. Even the things that you don't even understand where it's coming from, he understands it. But then he goes on to say, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He knows everything about us. And his word is able to move in our hearts and our minds. Praise God. I believe, as I was preparing this, I believe that the Lord confirmed in me that I don't have to identify every issue that's in the lives of the people in this place, because he already knows what it is you need. And while I'm standing here and preaching, he's talking to you by the power of the Holy Ghost, and his word is probing your spirit, trying to point out to you that he is willing to give you what you need before you leave this place. Another version says the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even to the point of dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is able to judge the desires and the thoughts of the heart. Praise God. What's in your heart tonight? You can surrender everything to Jesus Christ. You can receive the word of God, and your life can change forever from this moment forward. That means when God speaks, the things that he says, when the word of God is manifest, it takes on an active existence. It's something we can't even comprehend, but when God's word goes forth, it's alive. It's doing something. It's active. It's powerful. That's why when the preacher's preaching, you feel like he's talking to you, because it's God's word probing your spirit. And when God speaks, his words have meaning. They have purpose. They are doing something. Let God give you faith before you leave this room. Let God speak to your need. Let the word of God come to you. Receive the promise. When you feel in your heart, the very instant that you recognize that God is dealing with your heart, receive that word and accept it by faith. And at that moment, God will begin to do a work in your life. God's word is acting right now. It's moving. It is living right in this place. I want to believe, Brother Seidel, but praise God. Why do you think you want to believe right now? Because the word of God is dealing with you. But I have so much sin in my life. Praise God. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin if we'll confess it. That's what the word says. Praise God. How can I ever live this life? Tarry ye in Jerusalem, Jesus said, until you be endued with power from on high. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Samaria and Judea and the uttermost part of the world. Praise God. That's his word. That's his promise. It always does something. And it's working right now. It does not, in Isaiah, he said, my word does not go forth and return void. Praise God. Somebody's going to get what they need here tonight. Somebody's going to get what they need here tonight. Somebody's going to get a healing. Someone's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody's going to be delivered. Somebody's going to be made whole. Because his word does not return void. Somebody, why not you? Why don't you receive what you need from God tonight? Praise God. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What you thought couldn't happen before when you came here tonight, by the time you leave, you can believe it with all your heart and receive it because you're hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you will receive it, he can do for you the thing you need. Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand. Romans 10, 8 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith with which we preach. Praise God. I don't have to name your situation. If you will receive the word of God, if you will receive the promise of God, if you will respond to the move of the Spirit, God can meet your need. He can fill you with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. What do I mean, the Holy Ghost? The Bible says that on the day of Pentecost, when they were all together in one mind and one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they all, everyone say all, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise God. If you have never been filled with God's Holy Spirit, that's his will for you. It says so in the Word. And his word is speaking to you now. And if you will surrender your heart to him, if you will repent from your sin, his Spirit will fill you to overflowing. And you'll hear yourself speaking in another tongue. If you have never been baptized in Jesus' name, if you need to repent, if you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, I want to invite you to come down here on this side of the altar and pray. Because the word of God is here and he will do what he has promised. Praise God. If you have a need tonight, you're struggling with something, God's word is present. He speak the word. The Bible says it's nigh thee even in thy mouth. Speak back to him the promise that God has given to you right now. You come and speak the promise of God in faith, and he will honor it. Whatever your struggle, if you're struggling with something in your life and you can't get past it, if you have an issue that you don't know how to deal with it, come right down here in the middle. God will meet with you, and the word of God will set you free. Praise God. The word is alive. It's active. It's doing something. Somebody's going to get what they need tonight. If you need a healing, praise God. We've been preaching signs and wonders and miracles. We believe that God is a healer. And we also know from experience that when we start preaching something, God starts answering because it's his word. Someone can be healed tonight before you leave here. We want to glorify God. We want God to have the glory, but we want to see the miracles that he wants to bring forth. If you need healing, come down here and pray. God is able. God is able. God is able. The same word that God used to create the universe, the same word that is withholding final judgment from the earth, the same word that is working in your heart and mind, that same word can be expressed by your heart in prayer, and you can receive a miracle tonight. What do you need? God is talking. The word is here. The word of God is present. Seek him with all your heart and receive what you need from God tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You hold a high. Oh, praise God in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, praise God. There's room for more.
Savior, there's no one.
Praise God. We need altar workers.
You are always with us.